Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Pastor George Pearsons, my wife, Pastor Terry Pearsons, and we're glad to be with you today, and we're glad that we have Kenneth Copeland Bible College with us right here. Praise God on the property of Kenneth Copeland Ministries.
Good-looking group.
Good-looking, enthusiastic, and hungry for the Word.
I know they are.
Yes, they are.
You can feel the vibe on the campus.
Yep.
You can see when they're walking around. You can tell when they're here.
KCBC's in town. So.
That's right.
So we're glad to be with you on the broadcast. Kenneth and Gloria, thank you once again for allowing us to have these broadcasts. And, you know, what we're talking about on these 2 weeks of broadcast, Terry, is so crucial to the life of the ministry. And it's something that has been really developed over all of these over 57 years of ministry, talking about core values, the core values of KCM and the core values of your life that help you stay rooted and grounded and established.
You know, it was really learning about leadership and business and organization that this idea of focusing in on what are your core beliefs. What is it that you filter all your decisions, all your actions, and to really evaluate that and see if they really what they should be. And stopping to look over the past decades, we can see the things that we knew should be a core value in our lives and by which we can judge our thoughts, our words, our actions, and see if we are actually lining up to those things. And that's really helped us. I'm very thankful that the Lord brought that to us through leadership training.
And we have it in a book that's available
for
them as well.
So, yes, our core values, this booklet that we produced, you can have this free of charge, kcm.org/core. You can go there. You not only can order this free, but you'll find other resource materials that will further teach you and help you learn from the Word and from experience.
So
the things that we're talking about in these core values,
right.
The Word of God, faith,
right.
Et cetera.
Right. Let's go through our core values. Drum roll, please.
Everybody instantly knows how
That's
to do that.
So That's good. That is so good. Say this after me. We put the Word of God first place.
We put the Word of God first place.
We live by faith.
We live by faith.
We walk in love.
We walk in love.
We are led by the Holy Spirit.
We are led by the Holy Spirit.
We pray about everything.
We pray about everything.
We protect the anointing.
We protect the anointing.
And we honor God.
And we honor God.
Can we give God praise for those core values?
Hallelujah.
Yesterday, we spoke about the importance of praying about everything. Prayer is where we do kingdom business with God. God's given us the right, the authority to use His name and power, and we want to flow with Him in the anointing that we walk in to be able to fulfill His plan, His desire, whatever He has for us, and that leads us into our next core value, which is we protect the anointing.
We protect the anointing. It's so valuable. We have, just look at the scripture here in Luke 4:18-19. Jesus said, this is from the New King James, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because," this is how you know the Spirit is on Him, "because He has anointed me." What, to do what? "To preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Everything that Jesus did, He was able to do because of the anointing. Now that anointing came on Him when He was baptized. He was the Son of God before He was baptized, but He didn't do miracles. He wasn't displaying any extra equipment of heaven before He was baptized, but the Spirit of the Lord came on Him, Bible says, like a dove. That was not a bird that sat on His shoulder. It rested on Him with the same ease and presence that a dove would land. They're known for the way they light easily, and it just clothed Him in that anointing, and He came out of that place with an unction, a leading, an anointing for His mission and for His calling. So this anointing is so valuable. And without it, and if we're not careful about it, and it can lift. It can be taken from you. It was taken from King Saul. He lost the anointing.
Right.
David,
right.
That marked him, and he, in the Psalms, he prayed, take not your anointing from me. Don't, please help me to not ever get in a position to lose that anointing. Glory to God. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. That's important. Jesus of Nazareth, not Jesus of heaven. Jesus of Nazareth was a man. He's still a man. Okay? He's a glorified man, but he's a man. He was anointed by God with the Holy Ghost and power. So you can be born of the Spirit, but not have that extra dimension of power at work in your life.
Yeah.
But he was anointed not just with the presence of the Holy Spirit, but with another dimension, another level of equipping to function when there was a demand put on it. Okay, so that anointing was available all the time, but it wasn't necessarily working all the time.
Yeah.
There's no demand put on it. But it was available. Okay. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Christ, the word Christ, Greek, it actually means the anointed one. The anointed one, same as Messiah, the anointed one. We are Christians, little Christians, little Christ. Mm-hmm. It speaks of the anointing to equip us to do what he did the way he did it. But we have to understand and learn how to flow and cooperate with the anointing for all that to take place.
So let's talk about the definition of the word anointing. And we go first of all to Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So looking at that word anoint, it means to pour over, to smear on, and to rub into. Pour over, smear on, and to rub into. And it's a common use. It can include painting a house, buttering bread, oiling a glove, or putting oil on leather furniture. It's pouring over it, smearing it on, rubbing it into, and it gives us a spiritual significance, a powerful spiritual significance of the operation of the Holy Spirit for believers to operate in. Now, the word anointing, there are several words, anointing, that they have the same root meaning, and it can be translated fat, which relates to plenty, or strength, or fruitfulness. It can mean productive in every kind of way. When you see the anointing on someone for something, there is a real ease about it. They are flowing. I'm thinking right now about Billy Burke. Billy Burke. And we're going to be having Billy Burke come back this year. And so, but I'm always interested in watching the anointing on Billy Burke. And he takes time during the daytime just to meditate, think on the word, prepare himself. And when he comes in here, it almost looks like it's effortless. It almost looks like, well, I like what Creflo Dollar said one time, that the anointing is a sweatless victory.
Amen.
Sweatless victory. So it is the power of God on our flesh to do what flesh does not have the ability to do. The ability for a pastor to get up in a pulpit and preach a message, a powerful message, you can tell. You can tell when it's anointed. And you can tell when it's not. When it's not, it's really boring. We want to be anointed in what we do in ministry. And so we cherish the anointing. For without it, we can do nothing. But with it, with that power of God on us, we can do whatever he calls us to do.
I like that. The verse he just read about burden removing, yoke destroying. There was for a long time when Dad was preaching on Christ and talking about the anointing factor, how we have to factor in the anointing.
Factor the anointing.
We learned to recognize the anointing. The original anointing is on his word. And you may not feel anything. We're not talking about a feeling. The anointing is in and on His Word to start with. So when we put the Word first, which was our first core value, and we activate it, give it a catalyst by faith, it will work. But there are special anointings. It's tangible. Sometimes we know that it's there. Yeah. But that anointing, God on flesh doing what only God can do, what only He's able to do. And that is the ability of God to remove burdens and destroy yokes, letting that anointing work. So that's one thing you can be aware of, is that when you've got faith in the Word, the anointing may not be seen, may not be felt, but it's at work. It's at work, whether you can see it or feel it. But then there's an anointing to walk in ministry. And ministry is not just a pulpit ministry. Right. Every believer is supposed to be in ministry. Those that believe will cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. Now, in the Old Testament, there were only three people that had a consistent promise of the anointing: the king, the priest, and the prophet. That's really all there was of any consistency. Now, the anointing might come on somebody for a special task, a special mission, unction might come on them, but not exclusively, but almost. The king, the priest, and the prophet. And that's why they had to go to the king, the priest, or the prophet for direction. Now, they had direction from the scripture. And if they had the scripture, then that anointing that's on the word worked for them. But to have any kind of other anointing and unction and direction and expect any kind of other miracle activity to flow through them or to see it demonstrated, not going to happen. Very, very rare. But in the new covenant, it's a totally different situation. You have an anointing on the inside of you. 1 John 2:20. You have an unction. You have a prompting, that's the anointing. Amplify says that. You have an unction, an anointing from the Holy One. That's important to take notice. Holy One. It's a holy thing. The anointing is a holy, holy thing. Yes. And on the one hand, you say don't take it for granted. Well, it is granted. It is. It's there for you. And He wants you to learn to work with it, learn to work with the anointing. But on the other hand, we don't treat it lightly. And never assume that you generated it of your own self.
Right.
And it isn't on you because you're such a hot rod. It's not. You know, you are privileged to carry an anointing. And you could and should be anointed for whatever you do.
Right.
Man, I've asked the Lord to help me anoint me in the laundry room. God help me right here. You've got kids, you need an anointing. Okay? There's an anointing, or you could say a grace to be a parent, to be a friend, to be whatever it is what all God has called you to do, that anointing. But you have to protect it, because if you don't, You can find yourself disqualified to see it operate in your life. 1 John 2:27, the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and that anointing teaches you all things. Goes on to say you don't need that men should teach you. Well, that doesn't mean, obviously, that we don't need teachers, because we said, see, that's the first gift Jesus gave upon His resurrection. Was the fivefold ministry gifts. So it's evident that we've got to have that, the teaching gifts. But what's He saying? That it will teach you. He will guide you into all the truth. Does that sound familiar from our prayer core values before about being led by the Holy Spirit? Yes. He'll teach you. He'll guide you. But look what He said here. He will teach you what? The truth. The truth is how you protect the anointing, and it's how you watch to see to it that you're not getting off into some sort of impulse of demon spirits, you know, or familiar spirits. And your spirit, you can train your spirit to become very sensitive even to other people's human spirits. But you can be pulled off into things like that, pulled off by other people's spiritual pull and demand, and it's not God. And it can cost you. So you learn to be very discerning and very protective by all the things we've said before. Yeah. That's why this is not the first core value. It comes way down the list. The word, faith, love, led by the Spirit, prayer. Learning to recognize the anointing in prayer will teach you a lot about learning to recognize the anointing as you minister to people. A life of consecration. That means to be set apart for the Lord, for His use, and therefore you're set apart as holy. Okay, you are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, but holiness is an outworking of that righteousness in your behavior, in your thinking, in your actions, and what you respond to as special and set apart. To be holy means set apart, to be set apart for the Lord, for His use. In the temple worship, the anointing, it was not allowed to be duplicated anywhere else. Keep that in mind. I mean, it was a penalty of death to create that anointing oil and then do anything else with it. You couldn't get a bottle of it and sprinkle it, you know, in your house or make a perfume out of it. Nope. It was very distinct and not to be confused with anything of the flesh.
Yeah.
A very distinct aroma. And so there was oil and the blood. The blood always comes first. The blood always was applied first. The oil followed the blood. What do we know by that? The cleansing power of the blood to cleanse and to separate sin. So you were set apart at the new birth from the inside out, but you still have flesh and you still have a mind to be renewed and you still live in an ugly, dirty world. And so you have to keep that. The Bible says He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So He doesn't just clean us on the inside. He also cleans us on the outside of stuff that goes on and things that we invite, mistakes we make. That blood cleanses. That's one way you protect the anointing, is keep away from sin. You can't mix sin and the anointing. You start doing that. Remember those priests? Man, only one of them went into there the closest to the anointing in that ark. Only one time a year that he went in there and only one of them went in. Why? Man, it'll drop you dead. And that's not the case that you just come into the anointing. But look at Ananias and Sapphira. Why did they drop dead? You know, there are people committed worse sins than they did. But the heightened anointing that was at work.
Yes.
You can't do that.
Yes.
And it diminishes the anointing when you give place to sin, not only in your life, but in a group, in a church, in a congregation, across. Yeah. There's a lot of things God can't do if He turned the power up. There'd be a lot of people that'd be toast.
Yeah.
And many a minister has died young because of their abuse of the anointing. Many, many have died young, died sick, died poor because they abused the anointing and used it for their own selves. We'll talk about it a bit more about in that. So the anointing set people apart. Everything about them indicated the anointing. The clothes they wore, what was on their head, everything about them was special and set apart for the anointing, you know, and just being casual about things. That's disregarding of the anointing. I'll hold some of that for tomorrow as we talk about honor. So the ceremony for those priests, it was intense. You know, we tend to anoint people, a little dab right here, a little sprinkle right there. Man, they've like gallons of this oil and they poured it on their heads and they were covered in it. And the smell of it was so strong and so beautiful that it got down in their skin. It got in their clothes. It got in their hair and it went all the way down to their feet and it stayed with them to the point where it's the same with the anointing now. Smith Wigglesworth said, I'd rather have 5 minutes under that anointing than to have all the world with a gold fence around it. 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That anointing, to value it, to know it's precious, and to learn and to want to learn not only about it, but what rejects it, what repels it, what diminishes it, and how you can be a vessel better fit to be used by the Master with that anointing. Hallelujah. Pastor, go ahead.
Well, Yeah, there's a lot here that we're not able to cover.
Oh, can I mention this real quick, though?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. In Matthew, Jesus overturned the tables because they were destroying the anointing, that selfish gain. They brought money in there. They had made a marketplace of the temple. They made a marketplace of prayer. They made a marketplace of the blood. Boy, you run from that. You don't sell the anointing. There was one time Dad was preaching, and the book tables were in the back, and people started going to the book tables before he was finished. And man, the power of God came on me, and he said, shut that down and don't ever open them again while I'm preaching the word. I'll never mix money with preaching under the anointing.
You know, the results of the anointing, they're obvious. You see it in ministers. You've seen it in ministries in years gone by. You've seen the results of what it takes for a minister of the gospel to protect that anointing, do whatever they can. And I think about it for myself as a pastor. We've been pastoring now for over 30 years. 30 years of Saturdays. 30 years of days where I've spent secluded by myself. What others can, I cannot. And that's the price that you pay for that anointing, to be able to come into a church service the next morning and be able to say, thus saith the Lord, and it means something, and it changes people. And the price that you pay for it, it's worth it. It's worth every bit of the price for the anointing of God. And I think about something I wanted to read to you. And this was, I was interviewing Jerry Savelle on a Believer's Voice of Victory taping. This was 2015. And he told me what Oral Roberts did in terms of researching the anointing and what he did. Listen to this. Oral Roberts searched the scriptures for every example of the anointing he could find. Eventually, the revelation came to him. The anointing is the time when God separates you from yourself, fills you with his glory so that you can speak. When you speak, it's God speaking. When you act, it's God acting. And it's not that you've taken leave of your senses, but rather you become keenly aware that you are under God's divine unction, God's divine guidance, and God's divine power. When the anointing comes on you, it removes all fear and doubt. It fills you with a holy boldness. It causes your compassion for the sick and the hurting people to be multiplied 1,000 times more. Your desire to see these people set free literally consumes you. My urgency to see them rid of the tormenting power of the devil is what moves me when I'm under the anointing. What a powerful statement
that
is.
See, that's love. Love. So that's why these things operate by love. It's not for your glory. You stay humble. You and always defer to a higher anointing. Don't be eager to grab the mic or any other place. You stay humble before the Lord and humble before other anointings, and be sensitive to them and learn to respond to the anointing in other people. You'll learn to respect that anointing that's in and on you, and he can trust you with it. Glory to God. Oh, so much more. That's why you need to go to kcm.org/core. There are more resources there so that you can learn more about this anointing and how to factor it into your life. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right.
I discovered my calling here at KCBC.
Immerse yourself in a faith community here at Kenneth Copeland Bible College. Get equipped with what you need for your next steps in life and ministry. Discover new gifts and talents and learn biblical education from seasoned instructors. Kenneth Copeland Bible College is here to help you find clarity of purpose in your life and ministry. Find your purpose, discover your calling. For more information, go to kcbiblecollege.org.
There is so much more to being a believer than just going to heaven. What if you could live a life of intention, fulfill your God-given destiny, and see God's kingdom established here on earth? You can with Our Core Values, a book by Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Learn the 7 core values that become the blueprint for the abundant life Jesus has for you. Your core beliefs are like a compass that guide every decision you make and create the culture of your life. That's why, as a ministry, KCM bases everything on these specific Bible-based core values. In fact, they're for every believer to live a life of victory. When you're rooted in values such as living by faith and walking in love, you aren't rocked by the chaos of the world. As you study the Bible, use this book and the special journal pages to take you deeper. Put God's Word first place and be a light in the darkness. Become a part of changing the culture around you through our core values. Request your copy of Our Core Values, the free book by Kenneth Copeland Ministries, also available as a digital download. Go to kcm.org/core or call 800-600-7395. You can also scan the QR code. Core values are the values that guide your life and help you stay the course and hold steady in the storms of life. This offer is good for 60 days. Outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
It's been our pleasure to bring this word to you, and I believe it's come to you under an anointing. In fact, we want to pray for you because prayer is the foundation for success, and it's the prayer foundation here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And so we pray about everything, and that's why we want to make our prayer line available to you. The number that you need to call is on your screen, because there's someone waiting on the other end of that line to pray for you, to minister the Word of God to you, to minister to you by faith and because they love you. Oh, my goodness, some of you have never heard somebody pray full of faith and full of a heart full of love. So we invite you to make that call and let someone pray with you and minister to you on a level that maybe you have never experienced before.
Yeah, they're ready, they're prepared, and they are on fire. These people who are here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, they put all of their heart into their praying, into their studying. When they come in to work, to go on those phone lines, they have already prayed and already prepared. So whatever you're going through right now, call the number on your screen and make sure that you are able to call and get you in a place where you can hear from the Lord. You know, there's some people right now that are experiencing great confusion in their lives. You just need somebody to agree with you and to say, look, there is a God who will show you exactly what to do and reveal to you the purpose for your life. So call that number. They are there and they're ready.
And don't forget that you can go to kcm.org/core and order this free journal that we have for you with the outlines we've been talking about last week and this week on the core values, but also a lot of other resources where you can learn more about the Word, about faith, about love, about the anointing, Holy Spirit, and prayer. Oh my goodness, so much that we want to offer to you. But don't miss this last one of our broadcasts tomorrow. Please come back. And I want to hear from you what these broadcasts have done for you. But while you're thinking about anything, be sure and remember this. God loves you.
We love you.
And Jesus is Lord.
Let the Word of God build your faith. Kenneth Copeland calls KCM.org your study center. You can watch, read, and share faith-based content and teaching resources available to you free.